once again we celebrate the presence of God that has rested over this meeting. And in a moment of time, we want to celebrate God in a moment of time. Let it come from the depth of your fountain, that the fragrance of life that is trapped in your heart. Reach out to the Lord God Almighty. Make your heart into words and bless Him. Make your heart into words and adorn Him. I boko frenis komezo kopreta kamo. Sheklo pre sukelia milo oprela asanomande. Make your heart into words and adorn Him. Adorn Him. Let everything become insignificant and let Him be magnified, enlarged in your heart. Let His beauty only be before your face. Make your heart into words and adorn Him. Immortal, invincible, the only wise God that sits as governor among the nations in the orbits of the universe, God of power, Prince of peace. We bring worship, we bring adoration, we bring a sacrifice, an offering of praise. We acknowledge your great presence in this place. Covelinos prescovelama kudemanteli rotes sela macabrante cusca matalia braceto seli combelama sucle brasceto mahaite. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, O God, because of your presence. Mesuzri apte kosketo, makatelimos aito kompres kavalama. Mahaseli proketamu akingo poros belamus kesi salahata. Can you sing that song? That's a song.
Naranaski Soselia, Presco Velamina Kudia, Lenta Alama Sita Koria Besu Velama Kutaya. Thank you, Lord. Now listen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw a spirit escape, and that's why I asked you to play. Because
because the spirit I saw escape, I know it is the spirit of death. Listen, listen. No, you've clapped enough for 1 week. Don't need clap hand claps anymore. I wanted to receive wisdom concerning what I saw. That's why I asked you to. Because I know that there's something on you. When you begin to sing, well, don't worry. We are related. That's the summary. And there's someone here that we need to help quickly. The hand of God will come upon that individual in the next few seconds so that we can cast out the spirit of death before we start teaching. Oh, you've been marked by the hand of God. Don't worry. Just be calm. Can you be calm? I didn't say pray. All right. In the next few moments, now, can you take that woman where she can pray? Just take her where she can pray. Take her where she can pray. While we await her, the ushers, you can continue with that song. Just that song. A short prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, that individual under the sound of my voice that has been marked for death, in the name of Jesus, put your hand upon that one. Side to my right hand side, to the back of the hall, outside to the overflow. Let your hand come stronger. Let your hand stronger. No amen. Just why? Let your hand come stronger. Can you help me with that individual quickly? Escofreski comantoria maramasekia pushke eperemosi. Can you bring her?
Understanding you ordered the seasons, creating day and night, turning darkness into light, arranging the stars to your pleasing. Barakule Adonai Aram Evoel Yeolam Vayeh.
Thank you, Jesus. 14. For 14 days, the Lord dispatched an angel that was supposed to make a delivery to someone. And the person has been distracted for 14 days. Now that God has half of your attention, the hand of God will come upon you. And the hand of God comes stronger upon you, comes stronger. He wants to open your eyes to an errand, an errand, an errand he has for you. He wants to open your eyes. And I beheld, and heaven was open. I see a light shine so strong. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, this is the moment for you to speak in tongues. Just for it. Oh my God.
Rusketa isko mahai sosali mole.
Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. I saw a dramatic sight. I saw a spirit. And this spirit came from the water. And I was wondering, what minute these? And I realized when wisdom spoke, there's one of you here, unknown to you, you are dedicated to the spirit from the water. This spirit contends with the work of your hands, limits your possibility, restrains you. But it's God's goodwill for liberty to come to you today. In the next 7 seconds, the anointing will find you so that we can cast out that limitation from your life. Can you help me? Help me. Yeah, I see another one. There's another one. That's one. There's another one. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you help me this evening? Oh, you come stronger. Help me with that one first. Father, anywhere the second one is, help me find that one. Help me find that one. Help me find that one. Help me find the second one. He's coming stronger. Now, ushers, help me check. Help me check. Even check the overflow. Check, 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 check. Check. These ones have been tormented. Their destinies are measured because of this influence. And tonight, we want to release the power of God. Let the yoke break in the name of Jesus. Amaseli Mokoria. Iskabela Kunte Yantoria Makapeli. Skaman Soria Beli Eked. Loser. Loser. In the name of Jesus. I break your hold. Oh my God. Oh my God. You've marginalized this destiny for too long. Now I say in the name of Jesus. Yes, I come by the blood of Jesus. And I demand your release. Oh my God. I see demons speaking. There are demons speaking. Demons are proclaiming their right to this soul. Now, if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, can you speak in tongues? Can you speak in tongues? Loose them in the name of Jesus. Abescofelia macabunda. Seminailo. Cobre secacunda. Let me give you some power so that you can help me, okay? The spirit is on her waist. Just lay hands on her waist and speak in tongues. Can you help me? Come. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Let the hand of God come strong upon you. In the name of Jesus. Mandora Raske Fotemai Toko Belami Skiso Salakunda. Yes. So pray now. That's where the demon is. That's where the demon. So now I command you, take your leave in the name of Jesus. We'll take you out from that place. We'll take you out from where you were kept. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the yoke break this night. Loose her. In the name of Jesus. Now, we will need to deal with this later. Demons are speaking. Demons are contending. Okay. This one is free. This one is free. This one is free. Can you help me with that seat? Just give me that seat. Give me this seat. So I command you now, let her go. Go. Let her 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 go. Every such illegal union in the I punish you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Speaking tongues. Now her soul will be cut off from that link. Say moko felami. Stabo say sketo mokoria. Mizaiko pasketa mandeli. Riamo seko. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes, now she can fulfill her destiny. Now, my. Okay, in a moment. Now, can we pray for this woman? She has an arrow inside of her body as I speak. It was designed to paralyze half of her body. But we want to set her free. I break the yoke in the name of Jesus. I demand that you let him go. I come by the blood of Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Weep not. Can we just speak in tongues for another 2 minutes? The heavens are open tonight. The yoke upon the lives of men will break tonight. It is God's day of appointment with his people. Asimo keli amakasko palata. Messiah, call the Amabayiko. Shelly Amakanske Tela Mokori. Yamo Selikatala. Shendo Bokoria Presco Filame.
Release them. 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 Selimo Korea Maskilamo Yeketela Yeketela Saikampola me Ia Koskele Matala Ia Maskese Sela Boma 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 Iskaya Kolema Yikamomo Oye Koskese Salama Ika Peso Se Oh, come and see me. Oh, yeah. Fetami kembo saite keva samena kubelama praske toke peske praske pakunda ayeko peria perisko matala monteli keko tua keko semina release them, release them, release them. Yeah.
Release what you took from her. Release what you took from her. In the name of Jesus. Release what you took from her. In a year of a seal, in a year of Salamand.
Tonight we give you worship. We acknowledge your excellent majesty. O great monarch of heaven, glorious in holiness, beautiful in the praises of your people, we salute you. We salute you. We
We salute. We commit this moment, everyone, that you stretch forth your hand to pull out, to rescue. We commit them to you, O God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I keep seeing someone outside. Rejoice, rejoice.
Thank you. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. Spirit,
thank you, Jesus. Indeed, you are beautiful. Indeed, you are kind. And we worship you. Today, I will worship you forever. Be praised, be magnified. In Jesus' name. I don't know how, where is your seat place, but just in case it is, you may have your seat in the house of God. I was thinking I'll do that at the end of the message. It's not what we think that matters. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, if you have your Bible. We'll just take a shot because of our time. 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll take a shot from the Word of God. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "Let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a pool of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because thy journey, the journey is too great for thee." And he rose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. That's a good place to say amen. All right. Before we begin the analysis of this scripture, I would like to show us a little piece of scripture from the book of Genesis chapter 18. Because the call and what the theme of this conference is about is "Come up hither." That was a summon that was given to John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos, for him to come see the administration of things that are settled in the heavens. The church was perturbed. The church was in persecution. It was a strange time to be a Christian. And in the midst of this moment, there was hopelessness all around. And God, through that summon, invited his messenger to come into the ecosystem of the heavens and contemplate the kind of administration that is set up there. When he came into heaven, the first thing he actually saw was a throne. And that's the complex aspect that I want to deal with subsequently. Because the center of the kingdom of God is the administration of God. And the center of the administration of God is the throne of God. That's where everything proceeds from. That's where your calling proceeds from. That's where it's on the strength of that throne that your days on earth are determined. It's by the decree of that throne that a man rises, that another falls, that a man is set up on the pedestal, and another is assigned to the dunghill. That's the centerpiece of the government of God. And that was the first place that he saw in his guided tour through heaven. Because I said that in heaven, there are 12 elements that make up the civilization. And we saw rest as an economy that is built for spirits. And your own regenerated human spirit has a pathway to partake of that economy of rest. We also said yesterday that only unclean spirits do not have an allocation. Right. Today, I came to tell you that in heaven, there is food. That's what I came to tell you. You may not, don't believe me, don't believe me. So let's start the journey. So can you turn to the book of Genesis chapter 8, because Genesis chapter 8, 18 verse 8 is my emphasis. But the scenario, are you here? Stay with me. Your duty, my duty, as functionaries of the kingdom of God that have been created tripartite, were created tripartite, having spirit, soul, and body. And for your information, you are not a spirit, as you were taught in Bible school. Right? You are not a spirit. You are spirit, soul, and body. That enterprise of God called man is spirit, soul, and body. And I know you don't believe it. And I said it to arouse your curiosity so that when we solve the puzzle, you will find you were ignorant. And your ignorance was responsible in your revelatory processing. And that's why you were limited, shortchanged, marginalized. You need to know what you are. And that's the question that was asked in the book of Psalms chapter 8. What is man? Oh, okay. Right. Because you are not following, we'll cut that aspect. Now listen to me. In the book of Genesis chapter 18, it's an account of when God came to visit Abraham. And when God showed up, he didn't quite like present it as an obvious visitation experience. He pretended as if he was going. It's Abraham's hospitality that connected him with the weight of God's glory that was passing by his tent. God was in the company of two angels, if you say bodyguards, it would not be out of place, and he was just moving around in that atmosphere, in the cool of the day. And Abraham was sitting by the tent door, and he saw God move. And as his custom was in terms of hospitality, he had this culture of turning travelers into his tent to take a meal or two before they went on their journey. And he was doing likewise that great day when God was the one that was transiting and pretended as though he was going somewhere else and it was not a visitation. And Abraham's hospitality brought God into the tent. And when he came into the tent, Abraham, first of all, hastened and made food for him. Right. Where is my technical man? Is he back today? He took a leave some time ago. Just to, in order not to waste your time. Okay. Verse 8 says, and he took the butter and the milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. Oh, sorry. Technical man, can you do Genesis 18 verse 1 first? I don't intend to read the entire scripture. Because if I keep reading all the scriptures that I have here today, I will violate the time protocol. And if I don't finish, you'll be suspended, you'll be hanged. First of all, it is needful in verse 1 to see that it was the Lord, and the Lord appeared unto him, there is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. I didn't want to go into this scripture because we're supposed to walk on it. This is the It's a spiritual airport, this Mamre. This plane, the plains of Mamre, was a spiritual airport. And that was where Abraham pitched his tent. But I don't want to go into the technology of how he located the place and how he colonized the place. And that was where he was waiting for many years for God to pass. But no need for that. That's an airport. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So I just wanted to read this scripture to confirm to you that it's God that we are talking about here. And then in the book of Genesis 18, verse 8, the Bible says, technical man, can you help me now with verse 8? Normally it goes to sleep at this time. And he took butter, not spiritual butter, the butter you know, margarine. And took and milk, not spiritual milk, physical milk. All right, and the calf which he dressed. So there's no spiritual calf. At least you agree with me. You can say there's spiritual, but this is all physical. And set it before them, God inclusive, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So it means God, your God, my God, ate man's food. Angels ate man's food. That's what the scripture says. Okay, exactly. Right, so in the book of Exodus chapter 20, Exodus, quickly, God had to reciprocate that gesture. And in Exodus chapter 24, Exodus chapter 24, we'll read from verse 9 to 11. Quickly. Exodus 24, verse 9 to 11. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. This time it was God that was extending the invitation. Are you with me? I'm not with me. You are still not with me. You have. Stay with me. He took Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, 70 elders. God was the one that invited them. He said, come up to the mountaintop. That's the same mountain where Moses went to secure the law for the house of Israel. He said, so that it will not be said that you are lying, we need witnesses. And it is because of this experience that the children of Israel, they exalt corporate encounters much more than personal encounters. So if you come now as a Christian and you say Jesus encountered you, the Jew will be suspicious because Jesus, God, encountered their father as a group. And they are more likely to believe that the testimony of a multitude may be more authentic than the testimony of an individual. This is what makes the Jews so good. So God invited them, and this is the first time in the entire Bible where the scriptures testify that men were able to look upon the framework of God. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved walk of sapphire stone. We can't touch that this evening. All right? That's for another time. As it were, the body of heaven in its clearness. So God did not transform into a human form. He came in his very element, heavenly element, and he stood upon that mountain. And the place where his leg was like the paved walk of sapphire stone. So they looked upon God, and the Bible says, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hands. That means it was only Moses. I can show you subsequently that when he comes like that, he lays his hands on Moses like a rest. But he never laid his hands on the Lord. And also they saw God. And what happened? They ate and drank. It means God was the one that invited them this time. So God gave them his own food. So the reason why God ate man's food was because he wanted to give man an opportunity to eat his own. And when a spirit being ate mortal food, he was not defiled
You know. And if you eat his own food, you will not be defiled either. So God ate man's food so that man can learn how to eat God's food. How many of you still remember that scripture which we have exploited in an evangelical fashion, and I'm not by any means trying to rob the scripture of his evangelical possibility? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears and opens the door, I will come in, then I will eat with you, so that you can eat with me. So the invitation began with man, and God ate with man because he had an intention to teach man how to eat his own food. Are you with me? All right. So if we check this lecture, somebody's asking a question. Okay. Let me answer the person's question by opening to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 36, we'll find 36 to 43, we find the answer to the person's question. Are you there? Luke 24, 36. Have you found that scripture? All right. It says, and as the door spake, Jesus himself stood. Are you with me? Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Try as much as possible not to distract anybody. I'm waiting for the brother there to finish. When he's done, then we'll continue. The front row of any church is sensitive. If you have something to say, go back and say all, so that we'll know that you will not come there again. Just like I said, you might clap and then clap for 1 week. That is the clap you need to clap for 1 week. Finish it. And then for 1 week. Let's go. The Bible says, and as the door spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. This is after resurrection. Because the things they were contemplating were issues about an absentee Jesus. And Thomas do not believe in an absentee Jesus. He has always known Jesus to be around. And Thomas said, all right, if Jesus is not here for me to examine his hand and his side, it will be difficult for me to believe that he is the one that you claim to have seen being raised from the dead. As they were still in this argument, the breath of this argument was still upon their lips. The Bible says Jesus himself, not a representative, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Next verse. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Are you with me? I know you are not with me. Now, I still want to give you an opportunity to go back and finish. If you go again, I'll stop preaching. I'll just stop preaching. You preach for the night. They were afraid. They thought they had encountered a spirit. Are you with me? You're not with me. Stay with me. All right? Okay, next one. And Jesus said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Next verse. Behold, this is evidence, providing the evidence that Thomas requested. And he used the evidence to answer a question. He said, behold my hands. The reason why I can behold, pastor here. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why I can behold pastor here is because he occupies space. He said, behold my hands and my feet. He said, handle me and see. The reason why I can handle him is because he has matter. You with me? And that thing took place in real time. Because it's a realm that has three dimensions: time, space, and matter. Right? When Jesus had established that he had matter, that he occupied space, and that he was present with them in real time, then he went to clear their doubts. He said, a spirit had not flesh and bones as you see me have. Now, hold on. Run a test on your neighbor. If you find flesh, tell him you are not a spirit. Because I know in Bible school you were taught that man is a spirit. He possesses a soul and he lives in a body. It's not in the Bible. And my authority is Jesus on that matter. The reason why I need to clarify, people are offended. Ooh! Okay, because you are offended, we caught this. I wanted to show you the birthplace of priesthood. If you don't understand this orientation, you will not know why someone that serves the devil in a shrine will not want to follow you to your church. Meanwhile, you have a priesthood that is mobile because the spirit you are looking for is domiciled in you. That is supposed to be an advantage. He needs to go to a location that enjoys the technology of alignment. What I mean by that is the technology that traps a spiritual thing. That's the same kind of technology that was used in the manufacture of Solomon's temple. What is the idea of a shrine? It's a technique by which we can trap the spirit dimension into the physical frame of reference, such that when you enter into a physical place, you can touch a spiritual thing. That's the technology we're talking about. And it's the technology of mirrors. We need to know how to mirror the dimension of that, of the realm of that reality here. Once we mirror it, if the spiritual being that operates there, when he comes into this place, he won't know that he has changed realm because we mirror this dimension on earth. Oh, you are not with me. Okay. Do you still remember that scripture that says there is no enchantment against Jacob? Neither is there any divination against Israel? Don't quote it if you don't know the context. I know many of you have quoted it, but you are still under attack. Because what makes it efficacious is not your ability to quote it. Even demons believe and they tremble. Now, I want to reveal the context in which that scripture was used. A soothsayer was called to curse Israel. And it was said concerning him that whosoever he cursed was cursed. And that was the item on his CV. If he should curse you, you are cursed. And if he should bless you, this guy was hired. He was hired to come and curse Israel. And the reason why he wants to curse Israel is not because Israel has offended. But if he gets that guy's capacity in the spirit to curse Israel, then it will be possible for him to overcome Israel in battle. So the proof that you are operating under a curse is not the way your face looks. It's when you come into battle, there's an examination, there's an interview, that's when you are. There's something and a hurdle that you need to cross in order for you to enter into something that is your destiny. And then suddenly, the hindrance is going to find this person. And so this guy hired the soothsayer. The soothsayer set up seven altars so that he could find perspective by the spirit that aid him. And unfortunately for him, after setting up the seven altars, the spirits that aid him were new. So he attempted troubleshooting the whole arrangement. Know where the challenge was coming from. And it happened that that man was in some sense a descendant of Abraham. Because his great-great-great-grandmother was Ketura. even though he was a diabolical man, he was into sorcery now. But that's where his roots lie. And as he lifted up, he was busy looking, because any man that knows the art of divination doesn't look up, he looks down. He interprets from down. Oh. If you find a diviner that is looking upstairs, he didn't finish his training. So it came to pass, as this man was troubleshooting the entire system, he now suddenly lifted up his eyes and then he now saw the reason why he spared nothing. And when he took his parable, the first statement he made was, how goodly are thy tabernacles, O Israel. Do you understand that? Good. Then a commentary was added to that scripture quickly, that Israel abode in her tents according to her tribe. Now, if we are traveling at random, maybe all of us, refugees, and we are traveling, and we have a leader, the leader says, we'll come here for the night, I'm likely to pitch my tent close to Dennis. It's my friend, so we'll be talking with them. That was not how it was for Israel. They had a camping pattern that Moses copied. In this camping pattern, the ark was the fulcrum, was the pivot for the pattern. And then from the right to the left, each tribe according to each. So if you are in a certain family, there are no two places where your tent can be pitched according to that arrangement. If they is the reference point, are you with me? Then Reuben will have to be first. First son of Reuben, second son of Reuben. You have a unique position in that arena. And Moses saw that pattern and told them that that is how to camp in the natural. Do you know calisthenics? When there's about to be an Olympic Games and some people run on the field and then they make it. S-T. So that was how it was. It is only if you view from the mountain where the sorcerer was that you will see the pattern. If you are in the midst of the pattern, you will not know what the pattern has created. So, and it happens to be that the sorcerer was on high ground. Then he saw that that pattern actually, it mirrored the dimension of God in heaven. And so the cloud of God was resting over them. It was impossible to use divination to puncture that crowd, because they mirrored the dimensions of God and trapped the dimensions of God down. That is why the sorcerer said that there is no enchantment against Jacob. Now, listen. Don't stop there. I know we like quoting scriptures and claiming them when we have not by any means satisfied the requirement that makes them potent. On this side, the New Testament, Christ is the center and the circumference is the extent and the limit of the ability. And so, he is in the center of my civilization. He's the one that administers worth, meaning, sense, and perspective to my life. So if I don't know him, I don't know myself. It was when Peter discovered him that Peter discovered himself. That he was a stone in the spiritual structure called the church that Jesus the engineer came to fix upon the face of the earth. Every encounter with Jesus reveals who you are. He is supposed to be the center of our civilization. He's supposed to be the center of our nation. But when you hear the kind of discussion that takes place in most of our parliaments, you will find that we have a different focus. A different pivot in our civilization that is somewhat outlawing the ways of God. And because we have those patterns, our nations cannot stand under the canopy of God's cloud. The dimensions of God cannot be on our nation. So if that is not possible, what of your own life? If your life doesn't take its bearing from the Christus. It means you are in a forest. You have no reference point. And even though you claim a scripture there, it will not be valid. I rest my case on that matter. Come back to my scripture. I just said all of this because most of you believe that man is a spirit. And Jesus, who is our master, says a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. If you go to Bible school, that's what you learn. Because it's convenient. But the reason why Jesus made that statement was to reveal to us our orientation that makes for priesthood. In the entire creation of God, it is only man that was created not after his kind, but after the kind of another. That means your compliance in terms of purpose cannot be measured by your human intelligence because you were not created after your image. In fact, you are a derived creature. You are not original. You are derived. A goat is more original than you. Because a goat was created after its kind. But you were created after God's kind. So it is only God that can rate your compliance. Whether you represented him very well, accurately, in a circumstance or in a situation. And in marriage, whether you represented him in the life of your wife, accurately. He is the one that can tell. So don't judge quickly. Right? If you are wise, you'll be going to him frequently to ask him, how did I do? Did I do well? Because we were created after. Don't get used to people's claps and say, oh yeah, no guy, you're doing great. Oh, you're so smart. If that gives you ventilation, you are so far out of sync with your reference point. Like I said the other day, I don't know if you'd say I said it. You have a spirit. And your entry point into the spirit realm is the Holy Ghost. Right? He's your guide. When Jesus introduced him, the Bible said when he comes, he's going to guide. So he's your guide into the realm of reality. That's not the only guide. It is through the Holy Spirit, the prism of the Holy Ghost, that you see the spirit realm. There are other spirits through which men have entered. Like Balaam had his own spirit, his own entry point, which was not the Holy Ghost. Oh, you don't understand. The way you see the realm is by the guide. The spirit realm is like a wilderness. You will need a guide to explore. Let me stop. So through your spirit, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have legitimacy to explore the spirit realm. The realm in the spirit that we explore is not just every realm. It's a realm that is situated in Christ Jesus. That is our plane, our island of exploration. And the 17 items that were in the good land that God promised the children of Israel, those 17 items are in this good land, Christ, even Christ Jesus. Milk, honey, those are the two you remember, but they are 17. You find them in that spirit, because that's your new ecosystem. The reason why when you speak in tongues, it's not the same all the time, because you speak from different places in that vast island, Christ. Sometimes, okay, let's leave that. Until we have more. So, with your natural body, you have legitimacy to operate in the natural realm. With your spirit, you have legitimacy to operate in the spiritual realm. And this is, man is the only being that has that capability in the entire creation of God, not even God himself. Because God is spirit. It's not legal for God to operate here. If God will operate here, you need to provide earthly permission for heavenly interference. Because the royal decree says, the heavens, even the heavens of heavens, belong to God. And the earth has been given unto the sons of men. You will need to. So if you see demons, curses operating in your family, don't look for spirits. There is a man that allowed it to happen. My question is, what have you opened? What door have you opened? Do you open a door for God to come? Why are you complaining that someone else opened the door for Satan? If someone opened the door for Satan, his devotion is to Satan. And so the only way Satan can have expression is through that man. And the man was yielded to Satan enough to bring Satan on display. So Satan is a vicious being within your cycles, doing damage and bringing injury. You should be the doorway through which God will come. That someone opened the door for Satan is not the issue. You, what are you doing? Complaining. Do you know how many days the person fasted to bring Satan on the scene? Sometimes, yes. It takes 11 months. Yes. 11 months, 11 days. And you will start at a time when the rainy season will meet you. Because the rainy season, 11 of those rains should meet you in the forest. You will see Satan. What have you done so that you will see God? You are just there complaining. They have marginalized us. You don't know that you are the entry point of God. He wears you in redemption. He wears you in your spirit so that you carry him around. He's mobile. Your own temple is mobile. You can take your shrine around. There is a mall in the village. Doesn't have that flexibility. That's why he created you, Trapata. And we are forcing ourselves to be spirits. Let me stop. Yeah, go. Next verse. And when he had thus spoken, you see, that's the problem. He showed them his hands and his feet. 41. Quickly. And while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? Yeah, 42. And they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of a honeycomb. 43. And he took it and did eat before them. This was Jesus with his resurrected body. It means that your resurrected body is capable of even eating physical food. So what I came to tell you tonight is that there is food. Now, as strange as that is, I'm proving it to you. Psalm 78, because somebody might say, preacher, where are you? What are we going to gain from this your lecture? Hold on. I'm still trying to convince you that it exists. Before we go into how you will gain, you don't believe yet. So Psalm 78, quickly, verse 24 and 25. Okay, I'm waiting for the media man. Has he? Yes. He's on leave now. Okay. All right. This is God. I would have read some scriptures before this, but just because of time. And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. That thing you call manna is actually from heaven's bakery. And the first question I have for you is, what was the impact of manna on the people that ate it? No, wait. All right. Next verse, 25. And man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the food. You know why I came here? Because in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, where we just read, it was angels' food that was served Elijah. To show you that it is time for you to eat heaven's bread. Look, calm down. Don't rush. Just keep it easy. When the children of Israel ate manna, one of the obvious symptoms was that their garments grew on their body. They didn't need a change of raiment. Their shoes grew. In September, it was size 41. In December, on December 25th, it's 42.5. Be good. You still remember Jesus, his garment? Why do you think they cast lot for him? It was seamless. Have you ever seen a garment that is similar?
Oh, the scripture lied. Well, I just came to tell you that there's a link between your eating and your garment. This garment was sin. They had to cast lots. So now you know that there's food. Good. Elijah. After the heroic manifestation on Carmel, his face appeared in every newspaper. Probably like this, with his staff here. And man of fire, Elijah. And the witch of the territory, even namely Jezebel, was given an information about Elijah's victory. Because Ahab went home and told Jezebel all the things that Elijah had done and how he had slaughtered the prophets of Baal. The revival had come into the land because God had a man that could answer his name. I was searching the entire Bible to find where Elijah came from. And I thought that since the Bible says Elijah, the Tishbite, maybe that's the name of his village. And I checked and found it was not so. Because Tishbite means the messenger. This man was such a man that was identified only by his message, not his father, not his grandfather, or not his village. He was a man that you can only know through the things that he preached, the Tishbite. After that great victory, you will expect that Elijah will now begin a ministry and begin to shepherd the nation. Because even the king himself had to bow to the authority that he had to manifest God on that. And then the witch sent him the text message. He said, let the gods do so to me tomorrow. If your head is upon your neck by this time, and it will be needful, it's very needful for you to understand that that threat was not just a human threat. It was a threat that was backed up with satanic power. The threat was so spiritual. Are you with me? Oh, they are not with me. Once upon a time, there was a pastor, genuine man. And the people in the prayer meeting, prayer wing of the church, went for prayer, finished night vigil, went to sleep, and all of them had one dream. They never knew that a woman had joined membership of the church. And they went, and all the prayer warriors had the same dream. And the dream was that the pastor appeared and he had teeth of nail. So when the prayer people not, how did you? And they checked among themselves. It was the same dream. And everyone that was part of the night vision had that dream. In their own estimation, it was full confirmation that their pastor was an occultist. Meanwhile, it was something that was engineered from the spirit. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It was not just a human threat. Even though a human threat, you will see, is terrible, is so terrible. But this one was backed up with satanic power. After the great, and the prophet had won in the name of his God. It was so terrible that he took his Sabbath. I believe he visited Beersheba. Did some wonders and miracles, and they gave him that guy as a gift. He had followed him around, but he took the guy back to his village. So that anybody that would trace him as far as Beersheba. And then when he dropped the guy, the Bible He walked all night. So if you are even a scout, the last post that you will hear of his presence was the sheep. He walked all night. And he came to a juniper tree. That was where he used to pray as a young lad. That was his God zone. My question to you is, do you have a God zone? Or you are just floating through London, expecting that God will break you through soon. You will become old and all you have will be prayed. Things. When he was a young prophet, that was his God zone. But you know what? When he hit lamplight, he forgot his God zone. It was during the times of terror that he traced his way back to the juniper tree. Where is your God zone? I will never forget a place called Kano in Nigeria. I was posted there to do a mandatory service of my nation. And I found a mountain there. And I used to resort. That was the first place I saw an angel. I can never forget that. Day after day, I began to have encounters. If I have time, I can demonstrate the presence of that angel. If the angel comes, if I have time. Maybe we'll have time tomorrow. 3 hours. Yes, 3 hours. I saw strange things. Then I knew. That's when I knew that an angel can bring a vision to me. I didn't know that. I had the experience before I found it in the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it unto his servant John by his angel. The angel was up. The message was given to the angel and he went and signified it. He went back to his God. Thank God he had one. So he retired there. Retired this time in so much depression. And he slept a sleep of sorrow. And an angel woke him. An angel woke him up to eat, to feed. A man had not walked. And he had food. He had a portion of God. He ate. He drank. He didn't speak to the angel. The angel didn't speak to him. His sorrow was still so great, he went back to sleep. And the angel never told him why. Second time, he woke him up again. And that was bread, cruise of water. And the angel said, rise, eat. And he revealed why he was feeding him. He said, I'm feeding you not for your hunger. For all I care, you can die of your hunger, but I feed you because of your journey. The journey is too great for you. The journey will swallow up your physical capacity. The journey will drain you, and nothing of you will be left. So I was sent to give you angel's bread. Rise and eat. For the journey is too great for you. And listen, it was not just one dose he needed. He needed two doses of angel's bread to survive. Oh. You see why people don't finish their calling on it? They take only one dose. Suddenly, the prophet made a statement which is quite sorrowful. He said, it's enough. He was telling God, it is enough. Then he makes a disclosure, for I am no better than my fathers. It means that Elijah was from a long line of prophets. And all of these prophets spoke about a season of insufficiency that befell them. Why? For your information, he was standing at on the mountaintop that was embodied by the valley of dry bones. Most of his ancestors ended up in that valley. And he had reached the same place that they reached, that they could not carry on. And he said, it is enough! And he cried out in the same language of insufficiency that his forebears cried. I am not better. That was the last thing he said before he went to sleep. The solution to that, his state of depression, was angel's bread. The Bible says that God had opened the door of heaven and sent down manna, and men ate angel's bread. And when he had taken the second dose of bread, the Bible says that he walked 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't need to sleep unto Horeb, the mountain of God. That means he went past the valley that his ancestors ended their coming. Because he had two doses of angel's bread. How many of you still remember powerful scripture in the book of Isaiah? As I have not heard, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is ever will. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weak, the young men shall utterly fall. Get that weight of nothing. They shall renew their strength. The first sign that you have received angels' bread. Because in the case of Isaiah, of Elijah, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Is that true? That means he walked and was not weak. The Bible says they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run. And what? So the proof that you have eaten angel's bread is threefold. One, you will mount up with wings like eagles. The meaning of that is you will do the supernatural natural. You do the supernatural natural. It's not natural for you to mount up, but if you mount up, it's supernatural. If you get to mount up like the eagle, it means you are doing the supernatural natural. Second sign. Walk and not faint. That is a sign that Elijah gave when he ate two doses of angel's bread. It means he will do the natural. It's natural to walk, but it's not natural to walk and not be weary. So you do the natural. What? Supernatural. It's natural to talk to human beings. And you can talk all night, but it's not natural to talk to God. Some of you here that can insult people, describe people's head, that the back is like, it's oblong. And you can do that till they break. But when they say pray to God, you will sleep up and yawn and snore. It is because you don't draw the ability to speak to God from the natural. You have not yet started doing the supernatural. Natural. If prayer is not natural, it doesn't come natural. It's not natural to hear God, but there are realms to go. That you hear God as a man speaks to his own friend.
A white robe in the spirit. And that robe has been given. It's been released. Okay. Just touch her on the head. Thank you, Father. Someone is about to be clothed. This clothing is going to... Yes, let me have it. Simoseli kabaratos kinto mela masanto. Shekli broske falama siya sola mua kepo rasamina skeli. The place where you were kept, the grave that was dug, I demand that it be closed up. And I demand your release from where you were kept captive. In the name of Jesus, I come by the blood of Jesus. I demand the release of his soul. Kabosi minaila. Jeiko pesko falama sali. Raikos keso silo kompre malantos kiso salatalia. Maita kaperande masu. Jesus Christ. Command the chains to break. And the fetters to give way. I speak the mercy of God over your life. Thank you, Father. There is a light that is upon one of you in this closet here. And in Itzeb, the errand of that light will be accomplished. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Eight. Let the errand be accomplished. Hey! I have good news for you. He will begin to improve from this night, okay? Hey! Father, in the name of Jesus, that one that has refused to let this young boy go. I ask, oh God, that your judgment might come upon him. Let him go in the name of Jesus. Hey, Chaiko Bella. Yes, walk away from there. Walk away in the name of Jesus. You were sold for naught, and ye shall be bought without money by the power that is in the name of Jesus. The spell upon you breaks. There are three intercessors in this place, inside and outside. And you will sense a fire, a fire, a fire, a fire, a fire.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you glory. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are not, I'm sorry, Lord. We are sorry to interrupt this flow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. But I ask, as people are going home, that you continue doing what you're doing. Don't stop, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have thank you, Lord Eddie. Father, we give you glory. We magnify your name. We worship you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. May we be seated in the presence of the Lord. Because of time, we apologize. Amen. But believe me, tomorrow there will be no limit. Yeah. If a person wants to do 5 hours, we will do it tomorrow. Praise the Lord. We have some of Apostles' book here, and you will see Minister Kate at the table there. You can pick any of the item. We have choice, man's most important power. We have God's word, finding the truth, knock. We have burdening his excellence. And then we have go into all the world. And appeals to apostles in the marketplace. I know you see this one. Yeah, please get all the copies. They are very, very cheap amount of money that you can get them. Then we have a kingdom recalibration. So we can recalibrate the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Please get all of these books and eat them. And then your life will not remain the same again. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to give our offering. If you can just get your hand in your pocket and on your phone as you may want to do it. And let's give unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I think this is a big faith. Can you use the one you used yesterday? Is it not possible to use the one you used yesterday? People at the back might not be able to see very well. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we have a song? You're tired. Good God. Sir, can you? I'm so sorry, sir. Please, sir. Can you bless us, sir, please? Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. If you need an offering, if you need a envelope, you just raise your hand up, they will pass one to you. Hallelujah. If you can find the one you used yesterday, then you can put the one you just put on back. Praise the Lord. So that people can get their account number. Thank you, Jesus.
You will never, ever change. You are the Lord, you remain the same.
Apostle, can you see the protocol outside, please? If you have a gift for apostle, please. Some of you come to us that you have a gift for apostle. Please, can you see the protocol outside? Then we need you. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you brought a gift for apostle, please, can you see the protocol outside? Then we help you to the right place. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You will never ever change.
Look at the back there. At the back, at the back, at the back, at the back, at the back.
You are the Lord.
At the back. They are calling you at the back.
You will never ever change. No.
You're not able to give the gift today, you can bring them tomorrow. Amen. Thank you, Lord Eddie. Father, we give you glory, we magnify your name. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful service. Thank you for this offering. Thank you for the hope in heaven upon this service today. Thank you for all men and women you've used. Thank you for the yoke you've broken today. Thank you, the captive. Thank you for the captive that has been set free. Thank you, Lord, that you for the new thing you have established in the life of your people. Be thou exalted, be thou magnified. We release your glory, your power upon this offering, and we ask, Lord, that you receive them. May your glory, your fire fall upon them. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, every one of us. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for coming today. Can just say, you know, thank you to Pastor Prince. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you.